Father, I just thank you for the people who came out tonight. Father, we are expecting a mighty move of your glory. We would really like that to happen tonight. Your glory will change and rearrange us, Father God, into the image of your Son, Jesus. And we're asking, God, that you just drop your glory. Strip us from everything that's not of you, Father. And let it begin tonight. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I was reading, somebody sent something on my email. This person did. I'm going to read it. It was a story about his own life, and it just so impressed me that I thought I would read it tonight. It's by Jonathan Pitts. And, you know, we need to go back to the simple things of life, you know, instead of being all complicated with God, and just enjoy, you know, who God is and what we're doing with God. We don't need to make it complicated. And we don't need to make it look so great that those who don't know God can't receive God. They just need to see us as human beings, walking the earth, making mistakes, crying, you know, sometimes losing hope. When Jesus walked the earth, he did not act like he was God. He walked among the people, taught the people, didn't have a home. Slept outside under the stars a lot. And if somebody happened to really like him, they built a room on their home so he could stay there when he got into their town. He relied on other people to feed him. I mean, he could perform miracles anytime he wanted to. But he relied on the ladies who cooked really well to feed him. And he didn't have any money. You know, we make Jesus look like somebody that so far off that we can't touch him. And that's not true. He is touchable. And he loves us. He died for us. And I just think we need to get back to basics. We need to get back to who Jesus truly is. And what God the Father is doing for us. And what the role of the Holy Spirit's all about. America has gone so far off course that I don't even recognize America anymore. You know, I read about other countries making fun of Biden, and they're taking every advantage they can because Biden's in office, and that's really a stench on America, that we're being ridiculed and made fun of. And I think it's about time we as Americans just... I know we've been fasting, I know we've been praying, but we're missing something. There's just something we're not getting yet. And even in my own home, I'm seeing where people who really trusted what I said that I heard from God are now questioning it. I said, don't bring your questions to me. I know what God said. Amen. And, you know, what is the day? Today's Wednesday. Tuesday afternoon, my Wi-Fi went out. And I'm sitting there working on my computer, and all of a sudden everybody in the household's in my bed, in my study. And they said, didn't you pay the Wi-Fi bill? I said, why, what's wrong? Well, we can't get it on here, we can't get it on there, you know, and I'm trying to watch your races, and I can't watch your races. And I said, I don't know what's going on. Then I realized I couldn't get on either. But I mean, they lost control. I said, you know, then Chris, he called them, and they said, we'll go out, you know, today at 1 o'clock and see what's going on. But I couldn't believe my family. They went all to pieces because they couldn't use their cell phones, you know, to do little whatever they do on your cell phones. They couldn't watch your races. And I'm thinking, it's just a dumb Wi-Fi. The world did not come to an end. But then when I couldn't get my message off there, I sort of got excited, too. And Brett came out there and helped me get my message off. But I sat and thought about how the world is so glued to these little telephones and stuff. And they fall apart if they're not working. And I read one time where they were going to shut all that stuff down. What's the world going to do? They're going to go off the cliff. I sort of enjoyed it. I didn't. Then when I came on today, I had to look at all these emails I have to answer tonight from you guys. Do you know what was wrong with my Wi-Fi? Well, the outside cats got inside, and it went in the back room, tried to get out through the window, and that's where the Wi-Fi was plugged in. And he unplugged. All we had to do was go and stick a cord in the wall, and we'd had Wi-Fi. But I'm glad we didn't, because that showed me something, and it taught my people a lesson. You don't live by them gadgets you have in your hand. But I can guarantee if that happened to you guys in here, you'd be doing the same thing. Amen? You know, sometimes I wish we weren't going streaming or whatever you call this thing, because there's different things that I know God wants to do, and I can't do it because, after all, we're being televised, and we can't put that out there, and we can't stop and do this, and can't stop and do that. And I said, God, we're hedged in. We really are hedged in, because I really can't let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. That's a shame. Because a lot of it takes music. But then if I would have musicians, I would have to worry about that, right? But we can't play these songs over the whatever that thing is. Because then they'll shut us down. Now, isn't that a shame? That's a bondage. I really want you to sit and think about, what would you do? What are you going to do when all this, all your stuff goes down? Taught me a lesson. I always put my message in the Dropbox. Amen. All right, well, let's read this story, all right? He says, I'm one of those people who was raised in a family where there was no question about whether God existed or whether Jesus Christ was a Savior. I don't really remember a time when I didn't believe. Just as surely as my parents fed me plenty of vegetables to maintain my physical health, they fed me on the message of grace, that God loved me and sent Jesus to die for my sins. They wisely helped me to see that following him was in my best interest, and that submitting my life to his lordship would be the thing that would give my life meaning and fulfillment. But they were never heavy-handed. They never tried to force anything on me. Just as they gently parented me into enjoying a little broccoli or a ripe tomato, so they parented me into taking my place in the kingdom of God. I'll be forever grateful for that. I always knew that Gary and Miriam Pitts were looking out for my good, even if I wasn't always happy about every directive I received. And that lent itself to my understanding that God was also always looking out for my good as well. I learned the truth of Romans 8:28. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Our world is filled with tragedies, disappointments, evil, and unmet expectations that can make it difficult to arrive at a trust in this truth. But somehow I did, and through the dark days after losing Winter, his wife, I managed to hold on to this belief. I had seen it in operation throughout my life. Sometime during high school, I received a leather-bound maroon New King James Bible as a gift, and that Bible has been my companion through thick and thin. It was there when I felt close to the Lord in seasons of spiritual commitment, and it was there when I struggled against shame and disappointment, especially in my college years. It's all too easy to begin to question God in the middle of whatever the current struggle might be in our life. But we need the bigger perspective that comes from the pages of the Bible. Every time I read God's word, I am reminded again that God is good. When I first read this verse, it changed my life. I soon started a habit that I follow to this day. Whenever I was reminded again that this truth lined up with what I was experiencing, I would put a small X in the margin of my Bible and record the date. If you were to open up my Bible to this passage today, you'd find dozens and dozens of X's and dates recorded there of the significant times in my life when I recognized again that its words were true. You'd see my wedding date where it simply reads JRP to WDE 627 2003. a reminder of the day God gave me a gift that was beyond anything I could have dreamed. You would find the birth dates of each of my four daughters with Winter's health issues. Every pregnancy was a step of faith, but each of our girls made their way into the world healthy and whole. You'd also see the name of my high school mentor, teacher, and coach, Mr. French. He was never afraid to call me out when he needed to. He saw my tendency towards selfishness and gave me the nickname One Way, which, of course, was my way. I didn't appreciate it at the time, but it did me so much good to spend time with him. From him, I learned the importance of dying to self, even though I don't ever remember talking to him about God or Jesus in those teenage years. A few weeks after Winter died, I received an envelope in the mail. And when I checked the address, I saw it had come from Mr. French. I hadn't seen him in at least 10 years. The only thing I had heard is that he had built himself a cabin in the woods of Nebraska, which had been the dream he always talked about. Inside the envelope was a photocopy of a page from the devotional book, and the book's called Jesus Calling. It was a devotion for the 29th of July, which was the date we had buried Winter. It was a stirring message on endurance, and it included this scripture passage. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. That perseverance finishes work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And that you find that in James 1, 2, 3. That was a good scripture to send him, wasn't it? These words were a gift to me on that day, and they had come from a man who had been willing to say the hard things to me as a young man and was now offering words of comfort that were richer than any he could have fashioned himself. The phrase that had stuck out to me in that devotional was, make every effort. Make every effort. It went on to talk about working to see things from God's perspective, that he is renewing all things and redeeming our deepest pains. It was as if God was spurring me on toward the purposes he had for me, which sadly included this road I would never have chosen to walk. That's losing his wife. He was encouraging me to welcome it and to walk it with joy. Joy beyond my understanding and faith beyond my sight. Those X's in my Bible don't just represent the things that were an immediate blessing to my life. They also include remembrance of how God worked for my good even when it didn't feel like it. X marks a spot as a reminder that God is good in every circumstance and always has my best in mind. X also marks some of the tragedies in my life, like my high school football coach who died very young of Lou Gehrig's disease, and my daughter's mentor who never made it to age 30 but died in a car accident. And yes, you'd find an X for the day that Winter passed away. Her death was a horrible thing, but it was also her graduation into eternity. God's goodness could be seen in her life and also in her death. Yes, God is that good. He redeems our tragedy and failure, and his promises are beyond our imagination. Sometimes I temporarily lose sight of that goodness, but ultimately I always return to my rock-solid belief that whatever happens, God is good. Yes, he is that good. Never forget to mark the spot. Wasn't that beautiful? James 1, 16 through 18 says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." I wish we would live a simple life like this young man. I wish that when I looked at marriages, I would see husbands and wives loving each other, truly loving each other, not putting on a face. And then if they truly loved each other, you see their children being happy, you know, and enjoying life. But we don't have that, do we? We have pretend marriages. We have live-in relationships that are not of God. And we have children who are truly messed up because they don't live in a home where there's Christ as a center and love being shown. I don't know what God can do to get us to love one another, because that's always been teaching us about is love and endurance and long-suffering. Some of you in here, you've been married more than once or had more than one boyfriend or girlfriend that you live with, and you still aren't happy. It's because you're not following God's ways. You're not doing what God is in His Word is telling us to do, and you're just doing your thing your way, and it's not bringing any peace or any joy. It's doing exactly what it's supposed to, and that's bringing you a lot of unhappiness and taking you out of the will of God. Yeah, that's why when I read that, it really hit home, and because that's one of that's the desire of God's heart, that we have a true marriage, that our children are brought up in the ways of the Lord. And you see with this man, he was honest. He lived God's life until he got into college and he messed himself up. But then he turned around. You know, I was thinking about, you know, the Bible says, train your children up in the ways they should go, and they will never depart from it. This young man had godly parents. See, that's the difference. And these godly parents trained him up in the way he should go. They led him by example of what it is to follow God. And then whenever he was in college and got into mess, he had a good teacher who told him about himself. And then he turned around and started following God, and he really preaches a word right now today. So I'm sorry, guys, if you're not walking with God, you can tell your kids about God all you want, and they're not going to walk that path with God, because you're really not living the example before them. And the parents can't figure out why their kids are messed up. Well, look at your own life. How messed up is your life? And this is what I say, we have to go back to basics. We have to go back to truly being children of God, following God with all of our hearts. Like this young man, as I was reading about what he did to his Bible, I'm just wondering how many people even have a Bible anymore that they use. Their computer is their Bible. And about 6 months ago, God said, daughter, why don't you open your Bible? He said, why do you do everything on the computer? So I start up my Bible again. And it's different when you read that word, you know, in that leather, than it is when you have a little machine sitting in front of you that you read it on. Think about that. And, you know, you can't carry, well, yeah, you do. You carry that machine around in your phones now, don't you? Your phone can show you everything, but it's still not what God wants us to do. And I'm not, you know, and I know we have to go on with the times. I know that. And I know things are even going to change more, and it's going to be more computerized than ever. But let's not forget Jesus. Let's not forget the Word. And now they're even starting to write new Bibles, rewording it. And you have to know what your Word says. And don't fall for every new Bible that comes down the road, because they're not all written to glorify God. They're written so man can say, well, see, it's in the Word, and sin. And that's not where we're not here to show people how much we can sin. We're here to show people how much we suffer for the sake of Christ. Did you ever think about that? It's not this, we're not here to let everybody see us saying happy, 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 because it's just not like that. The only way it's like that, if you are so sold out to God and have such joy in the Lord. Now, I'm not even going to say it because Jesus suffered. I'm not even going to go there. I'm not going to try to make excuses for you. You will suffer. The Word of God says so. And we don't like to suffer. That's why we get in a mess. All right. Now we'll go on to see what God had to say. God said, children, can you see that I am that good? Can you see that I love you beyond measure, and I want to show you how good I am in every circumstance? Can you remember that I am the God of the impossibilities, and that I just wait for you to turn to me and plead your case in my heavenly courtroom? Children, I love you from the very depths of my heart. Can you remember how big my heart is? My heart encompasses all things that pertain to you in your life issues. My love extends beyond the perimeter of time. It goes from heartbeat to heartbeat. I breathe my love into you every time you cry out to me. I remember my covenant to Abraham, and I bless you continually. Because of my love, my grace extends from glory to glory in your lives. There is no mountain that I cannot remove, and there is no river we cannot cross together. We are one, you and I. Children, run to your Father and receive that love, grace, and mercy that he has extended out to you. This is a time for you to walk in my agape love and then take it to the nations. For the nations do not know love, and they do not know of my everlasting promises that I have extended to you. Let's read that again. This is a time for you to walk in my agape love and then take it to the nations. For the nations do not know love, and they do not know of my everlasting promises that I have extended to you. The gates of mercy have always been open wide, and I extended that mercy to you over and over again. Come away, my beloved ones, and receive a fresh new anointing of my love. Run into my everlasting arms and never leave them. I have you bound unto me, little ones, and I will never drop you. Why do you keep going out there to the world to satisfy you? When God says right here, I have you bound unto me, little ones, and I will never drop you. You have to ask yourself that question. Why do I keep turning to the lustful things of the world? Why is it I can't step forward and stay walking forward? Why is it I keep going backwards? One of these days, I'm hearing God say this, one of these days that backward trip you take will be your last backward trip, and you will no longer be able to enter into the gates of heaven. He said, I've shown you mercy and grace, and now I'm telling you to walk forward and quit walking backwards. God said, I am faithful in all things that pertain to your life. You can test that faithfulness if you so desire. All you have to do is just sit down and think about the different places you've been and where you're at today. That's all you have to do. He said, I am faithful in all things that pertain to your life. You can test that faithfulness if you so desire. There's many sitting in here and many watching that you should be in hell right now. But for the grace of God, somebody was praying and the grace of God kept you. God says, children, run to me when the winds are howling around about you. Run to me when the storms seem unbearable. You need to understand that you can come running back to my everlasting arms over and over again. What's he say? Children, run to me. Not to anybody in the world, but run to me when the winds are howling around about you. Run to me when the storms seem unbearable. You need to understand that you can come running back to my everlasting arms over and over again. There is always room for one more in my everlasting arms. My arms expand to receive my children. When the fiery darts start flying, remember my extended love for you and call upon me for help. I promise you favor, little one. I'm sorry. I promise you favor, little one. Does not my word tell you that you are the apple of my eye? And Zechariah 2:8, for this is what the Lord Almighty says. After the glorious one has sent me against the nations that have plundered you, for whoever touches you touches the apple of his eye. In the last couple of weeks, God, I'll be talking to one of you guys from here, and all of a sudden I start crying, and I say, I really do love you, and I want to thank you for everything you do to God. And I've said that to at least three people, maybe four now. And today I said, God, why do I do that? He said, because they need to be reminded of how much I love them, because they lose sight of that. And so if you're one of those that I've said that to, that you've lost sight of how much God really loves you, and that this is what God is saying, and you started down a course of your own making, and you need to understand that God is with you and God is taking care of you, and you need to turn around and start following God with all of your heart and remember how much he loves you. how can you ever forget how much God loves you? Is your heart getting so cold that you don't even know what love is anymore? All you have to do is just look around about you and the beauty of the world. I know the world is growing really dark, but the light of God is already there too. And it's the light of God that we're supposed to be carrying into a dark, dark world. You know, I watch people who come and go in and out of my house. They are so smart and so intelligent, but so dumb. Because they'll get into drugs or, you know, alcohol or stupid things. And the devil just takes them and uses them for his glory. And I think to myself, you'd be a wonderful leader if you would just serve God and quit allowing the enemy to have you. Because he's going to take you nowhere but to hell. And God built that leadership in you. I don't care what your life was about. I really don't. It's time to quit saying, well, you know, no, I don't really care about that anymore. Because you know what? You could turn and do what God's calling you to do at any given second. You don't have to give in to the wiles of the enemy. I really don't care how you were brought up. I really don't care if you had bad parents. There's everybody in this room. I, for one, I could use that excuse to sin, but I don't. And there's other people that don't use that excuse to sin. They had bad lives too. And everything wasn't very nice for them all their lives, but they chose to serve God instead of Baal. Come on. You need to start being honest with yourself. You do what you do because you really want to do it. And you make excuses all the time and why you do it. Those excuses aren't going to stand before God on Judgment Day. They are not. They are not. You ones that I have cried and said, I love you, you're in for a little bit of a battle. Because you really forgot how much God loved you and you gave in to the wiles of the enemy. And so now God's turned you over to let enemy have you, Job. And you're going to go through some times, and when it's all over with, you're going to know that what God's love is all about. You didn't have to go down this road. None of you have to go down this road. But you chose to feel sorry for yourself. You chose not to trust God. And you chose to want either a husband or wife to love you, and they couldn't fulfill that love. And so you used that to do the things you do. It's not going to work with God. He didn't want you to, he doesn't want you to go down this road, but you chose that road by the different things that you've done. You can't go out there and minister love to the world because you don't live love. Your family doesn't live love. And you're going out there and telling somebody else God is love. Then why are you acting the way you do if God is all that much love? And if God is good and you keep telling people God is good, then why do you do the things you do for the devil if God is that good? Are you understanding this? I didn't know God was going to take this way, but this is the way he's taking it. How are you going to win the loss to Christ when you walk through that door when you're all messed up? I say this over and over again, and I'll say it again tonight. If you aren't a person of love, then you cannot teach somebody else about love. I don't care how elegant you might talk. People feel you, and they know who you are. So God is good. God is full of love. And God does show you grace and mercy continually. But you don't walk any of it out. I feel sorry for young kids who have parents that are wishy-washy in their walk with God. I really do, because you aren't teaching them anything. Gabriel is a good example of that. He came the other day and he said, Mom, he said, all those things you told me that upset me. For some reason or other, I finally understand what you're doing. And I know that you love me. And I'm sorry I was rebellious to you. I don't waver in my walk with God, and I keep telling him what to do. And, you know, they have a lot of things coming against them because of a parent, but yet I still try to teach him right from wrong And he finally grabbed hold of the other day. And we both, you know, hugged each other and told each other how much we loved it. Do your kids do that? Are your kids learning anything from what you're doing and how you're living? You have to ask yourself these questions. The majority of women have kids so they can keep a man. Oh, if I have a baby, they'll stay with me. That's not true. You've now have two problems. You have a husband who doesn't care tiddly about you, and now you have a child you're going to destroy. Come on. Because of the way I was raised, I promised God, I said, God, if I ever get married and ever have children, they will never know what it is to live the way I lived. And they never did. They were raised in a good, godly home. There wasn't any fighting and carrying on. And they knew what love was all about. Now, how did you raise your kids? So you were raised bad, so you just, well, this is the way life is, and I'll just raise my kids like that. So wrong. And you women, to think you need to hang on to a man, you don't. If you don't have a man that loves you, you're better off without him. Because God will give you that love. And that man that doesn't love you, you're so busy trying to get his attention, his love, that he'll take your eyes right off of God. And I'm also hearing God saying this is a time that rubber meets the road. And he's not going to put up with no any more foolishness. It's either him or nothing. It's either God or nothing. So, don't say God is good unless you really mean that and you really know that. And don't say God is love if you're not walking in love, because the Word of God tells me that you have to walk in love to be one of God's children. Isn't that what your word says? Sure, it does somewhere, more than one time. So God wants to know what you're doing about this love walk and this God is good walk. What are you doing about it? Are you really being a good example of a child of God? You know, I have flesh and blood and I cry too. And you know what I cry over the most is this church. The marriages in this church, the way the people act in this church, because God has really been good to this church. He really has. And I don't see changes. One day you're up, next day you're down. One day God is good, and next day you don't know where he's at. I really do cry a lot over this church. Because, you know, when you stand before God, you're really going to be judged harshly. Because you know the truth. And did the truth set you free? Aren't you so glad you came out tonight? And, you know, I'm going to be honest. What I like to do to some of the marriages, you know, I like to go to you and say, why don't you just go get a divorce? Because you're ashamed of God. You are not a good example of God. I really do have to really bite my tongue and not say that. Ask Chris. I got on him about his way he treated his wife too. Come on. And you wives, you might have a good husband, a good Christian husband, and you treat them like they're dirt. Not pleasing to God. And God said he was coming after the marriages and the families this year. Well, if I was y'all, I'd get it done real quick. I wouldn't want to go around to a mountain again and again and again. I know Naomi's so happy she didn't get the ferry today too. You know, my daughter said, she watches this, so she hears. She told me she really loves Catherine, Sister Catherine's teaching, because she does this. She gives you the word and just explains it so simple that anybody can understand it. And she said, oh, by the way, I listen to you too. You just throw it out there, she said. That is what God does. He just throws it out there. All right. So he uses these little other people I have to get up here and teach to buffer me. you know, Catherine's, you know, giving you the scripture and explaining it simple. It's wonderful. It really is wonderful. But you also need me. We have to be well-rounded. 1st time Sister Catherine ever preached the Bible, young preacher, I said, I can't believe how simple she did that. And everybody, I was understanding what she was saying. It was so simple. And that's why I've encouraged her to go on and through God to do the things she's doing. And she's touching many, many lives. She really is. She's doing a great and mighty works. And she isn't trying to be somebody that she's not. My daughter said, she didn't even put makeup on. I've got to look at her real close. You don't wear makeup. Okay. Well, she saw that. You're not out there trying to impress anybody, she said. But I think it's wonderful that people look at you, you know, look at you that close. How close are they looking at you, and what are they seeing? Now, don't put wearing your makeup. Don't do that. But how close are people looking at you, and what are they seeing? She sees Christ in Catherine. And then, of course, she's my daughter, and I'm the mother, so she sees me just throwing it out there. Okay? I really want you to think tonight, what do people see when they look at you? Do they really see Christ? Is there something about you that makes you want to go back over and over and over again to watch you to make sure they don't miss anything? What kind of a legacy, fathers and mothers, are you leaving for your children? And you children that are judging your parents, what kind of legacy are you going to leave for your children? I would really want to be in your shoes. Because as you judge, you shall be judged. Isn't that right? You're judging your parents very harshly. Or maybe you're judging them rightly, but God said, do not judge, lest ye be judged. I personally say God is good because I know he's good. You know, one thing after another has been going wrong in my house. I mean, just everything going wrong in my house. They delivered my new refrigerator today and broke it. You know, and then my Wi-Fi was out and I went to go in the bathroom. The frame of my door had popped off. And I said, this is not right. And I took a shower and got out of the shower. And I said, God, why is all... I said, I'm living under a curse. And God said, because the people that live in this house are complaining about the things in this house. And they are cursing this house. So we're going to have a household meeting. I'm not living under a curse because you don't like to live under my house free, under my roof free. You don't like the way I run things. Are you understanding this? You've got to be very careful who you bring into your home is what I'm saying right now. Because right now, it used to be you could do that and everything is fine. Right now, the enemy is using people like you wouldn't believe to destroy God's children. I'm not taking anybody else in my house ever again. I'm going to tell you that right here, right now. I was sharing with Brother Chris the other night. I was reading an article where, I think it's in South Carolina, I think. Anyhow, one of the states, this guy said he really has a heart for the homeless. So he's letting the homeless camp out in his yard. And it was a picture of all these tents and everything. You know, he said, somebody needs to help the homeless. And somebody wants me to let them bring a camper onto my house. I said, I am not going to do that. I don't care how many, this guy can have a heart for the homeless. I have a heart for the homeless. I've tried the homeless. They don't want a home. They want to be homeless. And I don't care what anybody says. I'm not going to go there. So there, you can judge me if you want. All right. The question to you is today, is God good? And is he a God of love? And are you walking over that goodness of walking all over that goodness of God and over that all over that love of God? Or are you honoring him? Like I said this evening, we need to honor God. It's like when Aaron came out and said, I don't know what he said, but then you all said, Yeah, that wasn't honoring God. We need to start honoring our Maker. Well, I'm going to give an altar call now. After you all got serious, now you're smiling, so you've made up your mind what you're going to do. And so now we're going to have an altar call. Before I do that, please keep Sister Nancy Willis in prayer. Her brother died the other night, and she's really distraught over that. So but just hold her up in prayer. So the altar's open for two things. For God to reveal to you the depth of his love. Because you don't know the depth of his love. Remember when I was first born again, I went to a prayer meeting. This guy came over crying to me. He said, Barbara, I never met the man. He never met me. It's the first time I've been to the prayer meeting. He said, do you know how much God loves you? And very cocky. I said, of course I do. He said, and crying. He said, oh, no, you don't. But one day you will know. And I do know. I just thought I knew. And I think a lot of you are in the same shoes I was in at that point. You say, I know God loves me, but you really don't know the depth of that love. And what God wants to do tonight is he wants to show you the depth of that love. And he wants to show you the depth of his goodness in your life. So if you want that touch from God, the altar's open.